Our guest this part of the show is Jordan Robertson. He is a cybersecurity reporter for Bloomberg News, and we're going to look at this troubling issue and why it is that this is not as reported as many other issues are as well. There were, according to testimony yesterday, 21 states that were potentially impacted by Russian meddling in the election. Some of the senators were concerned that the public didn't know exactly what states were targeted and what the Russians did. And everybody's a bit concerned about what the United States is going to do to protect itself in the future. There was also concern today. 19 Democratic senators sent a letter urging the president to direct the Energy Department to conduct an analysis of Russia's capability to hack into and disrupt the U.S. electrical grid. So we'll talk about that as well. And Jordan, thank you very much for being with us. Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. A lot to talk about here. Let's start with the 21 states that were potentially targeted by the Russians. Do we know exactly how many states were targeted and what the Russians were trying to do? And if
Sure, let's get into that. So as many listeners may know, so we reported about a week ago that as many as 39 states were targeted by this same group of Russian actors who hacked the DNC and who leaked Hillary Clinton's campaign emails. Yesterday in the Senate hearing, DHS and the FBI said it was 21. However, they're using a different metric. They appear to be using a different metric. They appear to not be including things like campaign finance databases, certain spear phishing attacks and other things that are indicative of an ongoing attack. So either way you slice it, 21 or 39, depending on how you count them, they're both really concerning. And the big message, the big takeaway is from that Senate hearing yesterday is, despite many senators' requests for the government, federal government, to release the names of the states that were targeted or attacked, the government hasn't done that and has refused to do that. So it's really unclear whether any of us live in these states that were either successfully hacked or targeted, and that's a big point of contention, because it appears that states don't have to disclose that.
Yeah.
It's understandably a little bit frustrating for a lot of people.
So why would you keep it secret?
The Department of Homeland Security said that these are, of course, confidential relationships that they have with states. They don't just go around publicizing incidents that happen to specific customers, as they call it. But the problem becomes when you're dealing with a threat like this against the national election infrastructure, the overriding concern, at least among some of the senators yesterday, appeared to be, and I think justifiably so, that we need to know what we're up against if we hope to defend against it. And cybersecurity is such a sensitive issue for companies or state agencies or government agencies in general, that nobody's just going to go out there and wave a flag and say, hey, we got hacked and here's what you can learn from it. I have and do give Illinois a lot of credit. Illinois was the first state to come forward in this whole mess and really become the tip of the spear, as it were, for the federal government to start doing this investigation. But most states are not going to do that. So the reason that the federal government is keeping it secret is just because they can, and because there are sensitive relationships there with the states. But you would hope that a number of these states would come forward, at least raise their hand and say, here's what happened to us and here's what we can learn from.
Yeah. Jordan, do you have confidence that voter rolls were not tampered with? Did you hear enough testimony that people in Congress believe that that's okay, that no election results were changed as a result of all of this?
It's an interesting question. The reason I don't have confidence that that's the case is, you hear this all the time in covering cybersecurity as I do, which is, you're only going to find what you're looking for. If you're not looking for something, you're guaranteed to not find it. And the problem is, if you don't fine-tune these systems to look for things like, is a hacker changing these particular fields? You have to set up these systems so precisely to look for things like these kinds of bad behaviors. And from what we can understand, that is not at all what especially a lot of these state systems and especially county systems were designed to do. I mean, if you think about the level of IT sophistication that your standard county system is going to have, most of these places don't even have a full-time IT person. So, no, I don't think anybody can say with certainty that voter registration information wasn't tampered with. I think there's some certainty that the government has that the actual votes were not tampered with, but that's a very different discussion. I think, as we've seen, machine, and as we've heard from talking to hackers who've actually done this kind of election hacking, including one in Latin America who we wrote a big piece about last year, is what he told us was it's way too much work to go hack individual votes, because you can't just flip a red state to a blue state and expect nobody to notice. But what you can do is mess with voter registration rolls, and if people have really long lines at their polling place, right, they might just get discouraged and go home, and that's not necessarily going to set off any red alarms. So no, I don't think we can say with any certainty that these voter registration rolls weren't tampered with, but I think there is some confidence that at least in the 2016 campaign, that the actual voting probably wasn't.
Well, how do we determine and know for certain that the voter registration rolls were tampered with? Can we know that?
We actually can. That's another good question. So Illinois, again, I'll keep coming back to Illinois because they really do, I think, deserve credit in this case. And I'm not one to serve up credit in a lot of these hacking stories very easily, because you get a lot of hiding of information. But Illinois did the right thing. They came forward. And what they did was, it was about 2 weeks after they discovered the breach, they looked around. They said, we think this is something really serious. And they contacted the FBI and Department of Homeland Security. And what that allowed them to do, to answer your question, was the agents were able to come in and just take images of these servers, which is basically a snapshot of everything that's happened on those machines, and then they can reverse engineer it and figure out where were the hackers, how did they get in, what did they touch, what did they try to touch, what did they try to change, were they successful? So you have to do that level of forensic analysis in order to figure out what were the hackers even doing when they were on these systems. Now, who knows if these state databases that were hit still even have that information, but many of them should. So you just have to do a really deep dive analysis, and that takes man hours, and that takes effort and money. So it's not impossible to figure out, but you've really got to want to do that, because nobody really raises their hand voluntarily to do so.
And do we want to do that? Is there a commitment to get to the bottom of this? This story has not been front and center. It certainly was the focus of hearings yesterday, but it wasn't headline news, which perhaps it should have been.
Oh, I think so. I think just as a citizen, I think having an answer to this would be a really important exercise, even if the answer is, as I hope it is, and as it seems to be, that this was a trial run. The hackers were performing reconnaissance. They were trying to figure out what can we do, and if we can do that thing, that technical thing, will it be effective, or were we just effective enough leaking emails? They seem to have stopped there, but we don't know that for sure. So, yeah, it would seem that this is a really valuable exercise that we need to undertake, to figure out, were some of these long lines that we've seen, were they a result of the standard voter ID, voter suppression efforts that we've seen, or were they the result of tampering with voter rolls? I should note that Arizona was one of the states that has acknowledged being hit by this same group, and part of that group, that larger group of 39 that we've reported, and Arizona had horrible problems with its lines on Election Day. And some people have, I think, accurately described that there were a number of initiatives there, voter ID and other things that made that so. But how can you say for sure that that wasn't the result of some sort of tampering? We just don't know for sure. At least if anybody does, they haven't stated it publicly.
Yeah. Isn't that disturbing? Just to hear you say that sort of stops you in your tracks, thinking that could have been caused by Russian hacking, for heaven's sake.
Well, it could have been, and that's the big problem here. And people think that because some officials get up in front of the Senate and they say, well, everything's okay, or better yet, we don't have evidence of X. That is not a sufficient answer. I've covered cybersecurity for a long time, and if somebody tells you that we don't have evidence of X, then you know that they're probably leaving something out, because again, you have to go looking for evidence of these things in order to find it.
Right.
And if states haven't looked, and we know, we've talked to a lot of these states, a lot of these states say they have no idea if they were hit or not. And assuming they're telling the truth, there's a problem there, because that means that the government got indications that it didn't share with states, which happens all the time because it's classified information, and disseminating it to states means you have to unclassify it. But the problem then becomes, if states didn't know they were hit or didn't know that they were attacked, how's anybody going to know if the extent to which the hackers were successful or not? You just have to do these forensics. It's not impossible, but you have to want to do it, and I question sometimes the political will to go ahead with that, especially with what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, you sure have to want to do it, though, if you want to have confidence in the American voting system, don't you? You hear stories like this, and you just can't give people pause about whether or not they're on the up and up.
Absolutely. And again, especially the thing that it comes back to, I always, you know, the horses, not zebras kind of thing. Like if you hear footsteps, you know, normally I think we should default to, not to hackers, but to things that we've done, such like voter ID laws, which, of course can add a lot of problems to areas, you know, and other issues as the cause for some of these long lines that we've seen. But I think we can't rule out hacking until you've done a full forensic investigation. And if you're the Secretary of State of Arizona or wherever, again, Illinois is the perfect example. They did a full, thorough forensic investigation, and I think we can state pretty plainly that the attack that that they discovered there, at least the one we know about, did not result in any meaningful disruption to the election. I think that having that certainty is really valuable. I haven't seen any statements from Arizona saying the same thing. So again, that's not to say that we have any evidence that the hackers caused any disruption, but they could have, and yesterday's hearing, I think, was very unsatisfying, I could tell, for a lot of the senators, because we didn't get a lot of clarity. We got some reassurances, but that was kind of it. Some of it was a little thin.
Yeah. We welcome phone calls for our guests on this topic. Russian hacking is what we're talking about in the focus of House and Senate Intelligence Committee hearings yesterday. Jordan Robertson, cybersecurity reporter for Bloomberg News, who's been covering this for quite some time. Before we start taking phone calls, I want to go to a piece of news that I read today. 19 Democratic senators sending a letter urging the president to direct the Energy Department to conduct an analysis of Russia's capability to hack into and disrupt the U.S. electric grid. The Trump administration had not responded to a request in March for such a study. This is a fairly serious thing, and the Energy Department's budget, if this all goes through, is going to be cut substantially. Is anybody responding to this? I'm hearing story after story about this. Again, not front page news, but it's out there, and it's pretty significant.
Yeah, I think the problem is with all of these things, again, you have to go looking for these problems. And if you're running a business, or even if you're running a government agency, we saw this when the Office of Personnel Management was hacked. They stored some of the most sensitive information that our government has, which are the top secret background checks that we do on federal employees who have access to classified information. But they had so many problems with their networks, and they never appeared to have gone looking for them. So it really doesn't matter what entity you're running. This is a very uncomfortable thing to go looking for these kinds of problems, and because they're always going to find something. Nobody's network is perfect. It's technology. There are always problems. So I think you have to have either the political will, in the case of the election hacking, or the corporate or government institutional will to actually go do this stuff, because you're going to find things. It's going to cost money. You're probably going to find hacks, and you have to have a system in place for how do you deal with that? How do you respond to it? And I think the problem is that the consensus view or feeling seems to be, well, if it's not causing me any problems, maybe it'll just go away. The problem with hacking now is the goal of these attacks is not always to just disrupt things and be really noisy. It's to collect information. And it's my view that that's what the hackers were doing in regard to the election systems, but also in regard to the power grid. That's a lot of what they do as well. You're not just going to take down a power grid willy-nilly just because you can. You're going to save it and use it as a strategic weapon. So just because you're not seeing power grids go down in the U.S. every day because of hacks doesn't mean that capability isn't being developed.
Let's go to some phone calls. Kenneth in Janesville. Hi.
Hello. The answer to your question as to why we don't know more about what the investigations are about is because the Republicans really don't want to let us know. I mean, they really have to be patriots. Because they do not want this election delegitimized, and Trump is saying that, you know, there's nothing to this, and because the Democrats are just being sore losers. But it was the Democrats that were hacked, and the Republicans won, and the Republicans are in power, and that's the real issue.
Jordan.
Sure, yeah. I think one of the most striking things of all of these congressional testimonies we've heard from former FBI Director Jim Comey, current Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and others, was something that Sessions said in his hearing a couple weeks back, where he said in his time as Attorney General, he has not asked nor received a briefing about the Russian interference in the election. He hasn't even asked a question. And he testified to this under oath. It's really striking, you know, regardless of which side of the aisle you're on, that this would pass as acceptable behavior from our top law enforcement officer. So you would imagine that there would be more interest on that side. You would hope, but I think the caller is really tapping into something that a lot of people feel, that without a lot of initiative in digging into these things, that there certainly is a divide there, shall we say, in terms of who's interested and who isn't.
Bob, thanks, Kenneth, for the call. Bob in Madison, hi.
Hi. I'm curious if you guys have any thoughts on just the irony involved here with the U.S. talking about, you know, interference in our election, given the U.S. history of interfering in elections, especially all over Central and South America.
Jordan?
The caller raises a good point. You know, this. I think what's happening here is we're seeing it. There are a couple of things that are happening. One is that, as the caller points out, the U.S. has certainly been involved in advancing our own interests through election manipulation, shall we say, for a very long time, and especially in Central and South America and other places as well. What we're seeing here, though, is we're seeing the use of technology used against us in a way that we're just very unfamiliar with. It's not common for us to see elections hacked in this way. When they've been hacked before, and there have been reports of previous elections where the Obama campaign was hacked, John McCain's presidential campaign was hacked, allegedly by the Chinese. These were surveillance operations. It was very different when you're just quote-unquote stealing information to use it for strategic advantage versus leaking it on the Internet, potentially altering voter rolls. This is a whole new era that we've entered into, and some of these capabilities just simply weren't available to foreign governments before. I mean, tampering with voter registration rolls, that's just a lot easier to do over the Internet than it ever has been when you're talking about paper records. So that I think, is what is so striking about the activity we're seeing now. But the caller does have a point. The U.S. and many other governments have tampered with foreign elections for a very long time. I think what you're seeing here is the scale of it is growing because it's so much easier to do more damage with digital technologies.
And Jordan, just in 10 seconds, we're almost out of time. Should President Obama have talked more about this during the election?
I think so. I think based on what they knew at the time and what we've reported, again, at least 39 states targeted by this same group, voter registration databases as well as campaign finance databases, I think they made a big strategic miscalculation in downplaying this during the election.
Yeah. Thank you very much for being with us. We'll call you again. If you don't mind.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. Would love to come back.
Jordan Robertson, he's a cybersecurity reporter and has been for some time for Bloomberg News. Thanks very much to Gretchen Brown and also to Colleen Leahy for producing this pretty busy show. And thanks to Gretchen for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. News is coming up from National Public Radio. We'll be next with you on Monday when it will be all things political. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of news between now and then. So always a great deal to talk about. Thanks for listening today. And hasta, can I remember in Spanish? Lunes. Hasta lunes.